Welcome to VFN Radio. This is in your extra hour. God bless you. I'm excited about Cindy joining us today. I have Cindy Granger with me in the studio.
Hello, hello.
We'll be talking to you in just one moment. Fret not, our Lord is in control. Our Lord has already overcome this life. It's not about this life, but the life to come. Join us in a few moments in the extra hour. We'll give a shout out this morning to Okinawa. Konnichiwa. Konnichiwa. Zachary and Amy, we love you, man. Love you. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studio is Cindy Granger. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Oh, doing wonderfully well. So glad to have you up from Lakeland. I don't know if you're obviously here in VFN Radio down there in Lakeland.
Oh, absolutely. It's great. It's so wonderful to hear the encouraging word going forth every day in the office.
Isn't it? It's just all around the world. You know, we're able to encourage God's servants. We're able to give perspective of what's taking place. And I know that you were able to hear, you know, in the first hour today about what's happening. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is. And, you know, I was just seeing some of that this morning on the news, and knowing the God's perspective behind what's going on is amazing, because it just really gives you a whole view of what we as Christians are supposed to be doing.
Right. When you think about, you know, original intent, we talk about original intent all the time, original intent of America and the original intent of the church. And we got to get back to the original intent, because that's what we were talking about in the first hour, that the Pharisees and the, you know, God's people left his original intent. They left his commands and went to their own traditions and left it behind. So we got to find out, you know, what's the original intent. You know, Josiah, when he went into the temple and they had, you know, were cleaning out the temple, he found God's original intent. He found the word.
Yeah. And, you know, what I find is, well, like iabide.org, if you're not abiding, you don't know what the original intent is.
Right.
You don't know what you're supposed to be doing as a Christian. And right. So if you don't know what you're supposed to be doing, mankind seems, they come up with their own idea of what they should be doing. And that's sad.
Yeah.
And it's bad.
And if you don't have the light of God's word and the perspective of his word, I mean, you could buy into their argument.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
There's nothing worse than there's something worse than a lie. It's a religious lie.
Yeah, and that's the worst kind of lie, because it can almost sound right.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and the religious lie says you're right, but you're wrong.
Yeah.
But you feel you're right because it's the religious lie.
Oh yeah.
You know.
And that's what's so scary. If you don't know the word of God, if you don't know the Lord, if you don't know the Lord of the book, then you're going to be so deceived in these last days.
Right.
And it's so important that you know that you know that you know whose you are. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, then you're going to be swayed by every little thing that comes along.
And there's a lot of things to sway, isn't there?
Oh, wow. Yes, absolutely.
So what would you say to somebody out there that, you know, they've been struggling and they've been, you know, trying to walk a Christian walk, but they haven't yet discovered, you know, about how to abide with God. I mean, tell them, talk to them right now, encourage them from your own personal experience, you know, they're you out there, and they need to hear from your perspective about abiding.
Well, I know when I first became a Christian, you know, my heart was on fire for God, and you know, what began in the spirit, I began to complete it in the flesh. You know, I thought, well, I have to do this and I have to do that and I have to do that. And all the I want to do's went away. And so like you were talking before about the here do's and the here here's and the do do's, mm-hmm. I became a do do and not, you know, I heard the word, but I thought I had to do it all by myself. I had to come up with these works, you know, I have to do this and I have to look good and I have to be good for God. And Jesus has already been good for us, you know.
Thank God, yes.
His blood is amazing, mm-hmm. you know. I just had to stop what I was doing and begin to hear what God was saying, mm-hmm. and just believe and be mm-hmm. the church. Mm-hmm. And all I can say is just get in his presence. Dwell in the shadow of the Most High God. Oh, it's the most awesome place.
Yeah.
Get in the Word. Abide with Him. Go to iabide.org and really understand what it means to abide. I thought I knew. I heard the scripture for years, you know, to abide. You know, that's the dwelling place. And I didn't really know until we really began to study about it. And Brother Greg has some awesome teachings on abiding. Mm-hmm. And I encourage everybody to go to VFN TV mm-hmm. and hear what he has to say about it, because God really opened his understanding about it. Mm-hmm. And God, he just taught us to get in his presence and hear what he had to say and just be who he called us to be, mm-hmm. and not try to make it something it's not.
Right.
You know, look at the word, see what the word really has to say, hear what the Lord is telling you to do with that word.
Right.
And just be obedient.
Right.
You know, be obedient, stay in his presence.
Right. You know, and busyness, you know, busyness is what a lot of us can be so busy that we just don't have time to just pause, you know, and sometimes we say, you know, the doing thing you're talking about, that we justify not abiding by because we're so busy doing good.
Yes.
Right.
And that can burn you out. I mean, it will burn you out in a heartbeat. You think, I'm done. I'm not doing anymore. I'm not doing this stuff no more. You can't make me. But but then you realize, oh, you know, I was not in the spirit. I was not worshiping him in spirit and truth. I wasn't acknowledging him. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, we can be called and we can have an anointing on our life. Mm-hmm. But if we're not acknowledging the Lord who gave you that call and that anointing.
Right.
You know, how prideful is that? How arrogant.
That's what the Pharisees did.
Yeah.
The Pharisees left God.
Don't you know who I am? I'm a pharisaical.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
You know, hermeneutical. Right. I don't know.
Don't you see my flowing robe?
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, my crown.
Yeah.
And look how clean I am, and they're not, you know. You're and right. It's so, you know, in all of this, God has taught me that people are all created by our Lord and Savior, and he loves them all. He mm-hmm. loves everyone. Mm-hmm. And who am I to judge what he has created? Mm-hmm. I am called to love people, mm-hmm. to teach them the word of God, those who really want to know the Lord, to mm-hmm. disciple them, mm-hmm. you know, to love them into the kingdom of God and live a life that shows people that this is what God is all about. Mm-hmm. It's about shining in the midst of the darkness, mm-hmm. you know, not joining in with the darkness, but,
right.
you know, being Christ in mm-hmm. the midst of the darkness, you know, allowing him to shine through. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people try to look good.
Right.
Try to do right.
Well, that's exhausting, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm Cindy Do Right. No. Oh, yes. That was very exhausting. Trust me, I've been there. Yeah. I was Miss Religious. No.
Well, so I want to talk. I mean, it's so important. I know that I'm catching you off guard here probably. But, you know, if anybody, you know, tried to do right, I mean, you were a secretary.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you were in a particular traditional church mm-hmm. expression, and you were close to the crew there. I mean, you were the secretary of the church.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And, but it wasn't until after all of this, all these works. I mean, you don't know that you don't know God till you meet God.
Absolutely.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't know him and you're saying you know him, I mean, you're constantly asking people, am I saved?
Yeah, right. And every time you hear the salvation message, you say it again. Oh, Lord, I'm right. coming to you. Yeah. Lord, I'm coming back.
The
you
default know? Thing, right?
Yeah.
Just in case. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, but you don't know God until you meet him. And then after you meet them, it's important that you don't try to integrate whatever that was, your do.
Right.
You don't want to integrate your do.
Right. Absolutely. And I did. Yeah. Into my who.
Right. So talk about that. I mean, there's secretaries listening to us right now.
Oh, wow.
I mean, this is what they said. If I could just be the secretary of that minister, then my life will finally be right. I will never forget, this particular person, we know that we can't say probably, maybe they're less than alone. But they, they thought, if I just become a secretary of this particular church, and then I'll do better. And it's like, I mean, it was crazy all the things that happened in the context of that. And of course, it makes you actually, if you get that close without actually, having an intimate relationship with God, I mean, you're going to freak out because you thought that these people are going to be walking on water.
Yeah, you I thought think that was
gonna,
me.
it's like the ministers are going to come out of their office and go, hallelujah, hallelujah. Instead, they go, give me some coffee now, I'm about to die.
Like, are you talking to me?
And so, talk to the secretary out there. I mean, she's tried, and now she's become critical. He or she's become critical because their hope was men, not God.
Absolutely.
And they try to get close to organization instead of an organism. Mm-hmm. And now they're judging the very thing that they went to for help when all along they should have went to God.
Right.
But they don't know this yet. So talk to that person right now. Help them get a perspective.
Well, it's like Brother Greg was saying, we have a tendency to think, if I get in this atmosphere, then I'll be closer to God. Or if I work closely with these people, then even I'll be somebody, or that I will be, like these other people. But it doesn't have anything to do with that place. It doesn't have anything to do with those people. What you're wanting, your heart's desire, because God designed us to want him. And your heart's desire is to be in his presence. And a lot of times we don't get it, or we've not been taught that, because tradition will say, if you go to church, if you read your Bible, you do need to read your Bible, but it's like
go to church. Go to church.
Yeah.
Go to church.
And we are the church.
I know. I was like, how can I go to what I am? It's confusing. I'm reading the word.
Yes.
And then I'm seeing these contradictions of tradition, and help me understand this. And finally, people just go, forget it.
Yeah.
Right.
And then so all these people that you see behind the scenes, that when they're in the church, it's, God's moving because he's gracious. That's all I got to say.
He's good.
He is good to us.
Yeah.
But behind the scenes, they can be backbiting people, jealousy, strife.
Oh, no, it just couldn't be. Not
the worst of worst.
No.
And I was the chiefest of sinners sitting in the middle of the office of all these great people, and I was, I was just, I was so lost, and I didn't even know I was lost myself. Right. And, got just pulled into the world. And it's so easy to put people up on a pedestal because of the anointing on their life, and it's not them.
Right.
And we don't honor the people that mm-hmm. that are in the world, honor especially your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But the person you need to be desiring to be in the presence of is Jesus Christ.
Right.
He is the one who's going to sustain you in any situation. He is the one who gave you life. And because of his blood, we can walk with our head held high and go in before our Father God boldly, right. loving him, with the blood of Jesus on us. He's going to see Jesus, not us, But all I got to say is it's so easy to get caught up in the religious thing.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants relationship.
Right.
He wants your heart. He didn't want to just have you doing stuff and being in the atmosphere of organizing this or getting all these things together. He wants you.
Mm.
And a lot of times in the offices, you get behind the scenes and you can get familiar with the things of God.
Right.
And that's deadly.
The fatal price of familiarity.
Yes.
It's those who become familiar who die.
Yes.
Not those that they become familiar with.
Right. And I saw several people in leadership that had a wonderful anointing on their life get offended and leave mm-hmm. and cause division mm-hmm. and just grown people acting very childish. And I'm like, oh, wow. And they walk among us. I encourage you, if you're in an office situation right now and you're just doing your secretary job and you're thinking, I've made it. No, You haven't.
No doubt.
I don't care what ministry you're involved in. You have to be in the presence of God. You have to be abiding. You have to be loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. Because you, if you are a Christian, you are the church, and you have to be the church.
Right. Well, you think about it, you know, that if you are in you know, close to, I mean, everybody's a minister. And if your ministry happens to be a ministration and you're there as a role, which quite often a lot of people see you more than they see the others, that because you're the one kind of administrating all this stuff, and that if you will abide with God, if you will, you know, be with God, God can minister through you, you know, in a powerful way to all of that.
Oh, yeah, you know? Absolutely. And a lot of times as a secretary, you're the first people... the first person that people will see. And you have an opportunity to love on these people and not judge them.
Right.
You have an opportunity to set them up for success and victory in Jesus, you know, to set the atmosphere of, okay, let me love on you for a few minutes before you go in so that you can hear what whoever's going to minister to you has to say. So you have a very vital position. You can also set the tone in that office of love, joy and peace in the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You know, not in what I can do myself, but what I can do to allow the presence of the Lord to come into the office so it can be what He called it to be.
Right. That's so important, you know. And I remember a study that when I was at the University of West Florida and I was taking, you know, business administration and management, there was a study done on an insurance company. And the insurance company was 11-story huge complex. And, he had all these presidents, well, president and all these vice presidents with power. And they couldn't understand why they put out these memorandums. They put out all these directives for the direction they wanted the company to go, but it never would go the way of that they wanted. They could figure out, like, we're the leaders. How come it's not going the way it's supposed to go, right? And so they did a study. And when they did a study, they found out there was one person in that large complex of all those employees, and she was the one that administered the pay. And every agent, after they did their sales, they had to go through her to be able to get their paycheck. So she could, she was determining it, the whole company went her way. The whole company went this one lady's way because she got what she wanted, because the agents were there to get paid and they knew that you had to make her happy to get paid. And they realized that the whole company was being ran by this one woman.
Wow. And it does happen. I've seen it happen. Yeah. And we had a situation where there was one woman who, and she was the secretary of the pastor, and she was so controlling and she didn't even give everybody in the office that was supposed to have a key, a key to the building so that, everybody that had a key wouldn't have to be the ones coming up there all the time. You know, they could take turns doing what needed to be done.
Right.
And it just, you know, it was harsh. Right. It was harsh atmosphere to live, to live in, I guess, to work in. Mm-hmm. But, you know, finally, you know, the pastor realized what was going on and he took charge of that and, you know, went bypassed that whole situation, you know, and took care of it. But it was still, you know, it makes for disunity in an organization when one person tries to control everything. Mm. And it's like the Jezebelic principality.
That's exactly, that's exactly what it is. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And, you know, coming soon on VFN TV is Zero Tolerance.
Yay.
Yeah, Zero Tolerance. And it's going to be eye-opening to you to find out, you know, how many religious folk, you know, are being, you know, captive by this thing. And that, and he says that, you know, they say, as Jesus is speaking, the angels speak in Revelation chapter 2, he says, those who follow her teachings, you know, and this the teachings that set aside the commands of God.
Yeah.
They set aside, you know, men's traditions. And she leads people, God's people astray. Mm-hmm. You know, and America thinks, you know, just because it looks pretty, just because it's got good music, it has to be God. Mm. It's weird how that works. It's amazing, you know, the herd mentality. But like, what's going on over there? It's kind of, you know, you know, if there's a crowd, it must be right, you know. And so, You know, I just want to encourage those that are listening, if you're in the administrative field, you know, abide with God, you know, abide with the Lord, you know, spend time with him and realize your ministry can be very, very effective for the light, the kingdom of light, or if you don't pay attention, it can be very effective for the kingdom of darkness. We'll be right back in just a moment.
You know, it's exciting, you know, Greg. You know, when I first gave my life to the Lord, I was so pumped about wanting to know more about him and giving my life to him. So I remember I just graduated a 4-year university.
4 years.
4 years. Spent all this money in student loans. Oh, yeah. And I got my first real professional job, you know.
Wow. And, What was your degree in?
Criminal justice.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Is that funny?
Well, you know, coming from 10 years of law enforcement just makes me think about it.
Well, you know, so I just get my real professional job. I'm working for the Department of Juvenile Justice. And I hadn't even been there 6 months, but God is just doing such an amazing work mm-hmm. in my life. And mm-hmm. I'm willing to just leave my job. And I wind up going to a Bible college, go back to school.
Yeah.
And
after
so,
4 years of getting a degree, you're going to go back to school.
Right. Wow. And so I wanted to prepare myself, you know, and I thought, I didn't even think that God could use me. You know, I thought, you know, I'm going to be a Christian for a long time. I just want to, you know, know more about God, you know.
Totally know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So I didn't even think, you know, I was going to be used to do anything for him. And so I said, you know, this is a good idea. This is a good idea. So I go to school and I get all this education and I'm hearing every week it appeared, you know, we're going to go to China and we're going to go to India. And we're going to take Africa. And I'm thinking, who's going to take me?
Because as a believer, you have so many personal struggles and you want to be able to find out how to get past that. You know, how do I help me from me, right?
You tell me about it, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, what was encouraging is to now to finish that and to be graduated. You know, it's so amazing what VFN University is all about mm-hmm. and how we can equip people that are hungry, believers that want to do something for God and not get lost in theological references but you can grow as a person. You
4-inch books.
Say it again.
4-inch books, you know what I'm saying?
Goodness, trying to study Hebrew and you can't get out of Genesis. You know what I mean? It's like, what?
Yeah.
Are we really talking about Ezekiel right now? You know what I mean? They're like, you know, I love when Mark Twain says,
Can you help me turn my head right now?
Exactly.
Turn the pages.
I thought Mark Twain said, I hope I'm saying it correctly, but he says, not the scriptures that I don't understand that give me the biggest problems, it's the scriptures I do understand, you know? And
yeah,
it's like,
let's
start individually here. Let's work on our own growth and walk with the Lord. And so VFNU is a fresh perspective where a student is not, it's not about what you can do for God. It's about what God can do through you.
Right.
And through a personal abiding relationship. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you're out there and you're saying, you know, I've got all this education and I know all this stuff, but it's just not connecting. I need more myself. I'll tell you, you know, VFNU is for you. You can reach us at vfnuniversity.org mm-hmm. and reach out and explore the opportunities because right. you're more important to the Lord than what you can do for him. But he does want to use you.
Dude, that's what's so important, and is the fact is that we first have to minister from the overflow of our personal relationship with him. So we start learning all this knowledge without knowing how much he loves us and that we're in his family and we're working from a place of success, not for success.
Absolutely.
It's just so much safer, you know.
Sure. And out of relationship is a whole lot better than out of your head knowledge, you know what I mean?
Oh, I know it. Totally know it. Well, more at vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org. Well, you're listening to VFN Radio, and I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studio is Cindy Granger.
Good morning.
I know that I told you we were going to talk today about, Stuxnet and the flame, what's happening in the regards to the cyber warfare and all the things that are happening. We're going to talk about that, but we have just we want to focus. We're glad to have Cindy in the studio with us. And Brianna, and with the election taking place, it's very significant because in 2008, it was prophesied by John Paul Jackson of Streams Ministries that, you know, when you see the president of Egypt come down, that's when it all begins. I mean, it wouldn't even be how could they, you know, it's only God would know to tell John Paul that. And we'll also, the Elijah Storm, you can go to VFNTV.com or go to your Android app store and download the app at VFNTV.com if you're just listening on your mobile devices to the Elijah Storm. And remember, the Elijah Storm, when you think about the Elijah, the spirit of Elijah, that it was a confrontation between the spirit of Elijah and spirit of Jezebel. And it was over, you know, the leadership.
Yeah.
And remember this, and to all the churches that's listening, because our the VFN Radio broadcast is to the church. It's to those who have been, have gone astray to help lead you back, and to those that are being drawn to God. So we're not broadcasting to the world. I mean, although that you may be listening, to, if you want to understand our perspective, we're talking to the church, which is a people, believer. And we're talking to those that have gone astray who once walked with God. And we're talking to those who God's bringing into themselves. But when in the battle between Elijah and Jezebel was that it was for the leadership of God's people.
Right.
It was for the leadership. It was the leaders are always the issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And somebody said once, I remember, forget, they said, somebody saying, you know, you just need to follow. And they said, well, it's hard to submit to a moving target.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
You know, and, you know, leadership needs to get stable. We need to, you know, get with God.
Right.
And we need to be just steady in the things of God, because the sheep will follow a stable, confident shepherd, and the shepherd needs to be following God. And the Lord says, if you won't shepherd my people, if everything is about you, I will raise up shepherds myself that will shepherd my people. And that's what I really truly is happening now. That even if you are a shepherd today, I mean, you can change it if you're doing things for the wrong motives and the wrong reasons. Listen, God knows it already.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, repent and, you know, start again. It's the beauty of the cross, and just tell your people that, you know, at this point I've been running my own kingdom, but from this point on it's all about God's kingdom.
Right.
And we'll follow Him, even if that means when Jesus said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood," that the crowd left Him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't go, "Oh my goodness, oh no, what are we going to do?" He just looked at his few and said, "What about you?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going to go?" And then Peter, who would eventually deny him, said, "I'm with you all the way." Where else can I go, right? And so we're all Peter, right?
Right.
And so, yeah, right. If y'all couldn't hear that, Pat wasn't on mic, but it was a loud, right? And so, but so, you know, that we have to understand that, you know, what we're talking about is it's horrific storm being formed. And so John Paul Jackson prophesied in 2008 that as soon as you would see Mubarak, the president of Egypt, come down, it would begin. And you can go to Streams Ministries and see that. But you also can go to VFNTV.com and listen to the Elijah Storm. And for 10 years, you know, we prophesied. I know I prophesied. Just, it was just driven. I couldn't stop, you know. And no matter where I was, no matter what we were doing, you know, I was just delivering that Malachi 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
And then in 2008, when I was in my office, God shows up in my office that Sunday morning, and I was just preparing to minister that Sunday morning. And His presence was so strong. I mean, it just showed up. I literally just jumped to my feet.
Mm.
You know, I knew just the awe of God was in my office, and the presence of the Lord was just there. And you just like, you stand up, you know, it's like,
yeah,
so, you
right.
know, it's like, you don't just slouch yes, around. And so I stood up, and the Lord said to me that they didn't turn.
Mm.
You know, that he says that the before the great and dreadful day the Lord comes, that He would send Elijah, and the spirit of Elijah is how we say it, you know, because the words we speak are spirit, the flesh counts for nothing. And He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons, and the sons to the fathers, or the children to the fathers, or else He'll smite the earth with a curse.
Mm.
You know, it's like we didn't bring that part up too much. And so, you know, because I thought my perspective originally was that that it's going to be bad. It's going to be over if we don't turn our hearts. And what I found out it was that is, you know, God lets you know what he's doing. And we know in part and prophesy in part that he was going to actually escalate the environment to motivate us to turn our hearts. Right.
Yes.
And so he said in my office to me that they haven't returned. Stop the prophecy. Mm. Just stop it. And immediately that's when earthquakes begin to happen, you know, in Haiti, and all these different things begin to shake. And it was interesting in Haiti that when you watch the footage, because, you know, there's Christians in Haiti.
Right.
You know, but there's a lot of witchcraft, voodoo, and all the stuff. And supposedly, you know, sometime back they made a pact, you know, with the devil to be the this present generation did, but past generations. And it's just a lot of demonic things happening on that place. And that, but they were all screaming, running down the street going, this is God. This is God. We've sinned. It's like, isn't that wild? It's like, it's just like, oh my goodness. Why do we have to wait for everything to fall apart to say this is God?
Right.
Right.
That, yeah, absolutely. And it's scary, you know, that they knew.
Yeah, they knew.
You know, they knew.
You want to go, oh.
Really? No. Really?
You know, you knew all along, you know, and it's just like people, you don't play with your destiny. You don't play with eternity because, you know, at one point, no matter when the Lord's going to return, you know, everybody that argued about when the Lord was coming back 100 years ago, they're all either with him or in hell because they're dead.
That's right.
Right. There may be a few people that's 102 or 125. But I would kind of like to be in the presence of the Lord at that
Amen.
Point.
No.
Will me over there.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting back to Lakeland. So, you know, you can find out more, by the way. Go to VFNTV.com and listen to the Elijah Storm. Listen to, you know, become a free subscriber. You don't have to be a subscriber to listen to the Elijah Storm, but you need to be a subscriber. Subscribe for free at VFNTV.com or on your app. You can do that, I believe. But and listen to America, Christianity, America, Israel, and Islam, because you know, you have Christians trying to save America, not realizing that America is a byproduct of Christians.
Right.
It's a byproduct of people, the pilgrims who wanted to come to a land that they could freely worship God.
Yeah.
So if we try to grab America, you know, we're, you know, and I'm not against, we're running after two Mormons to give us our news and to be our president, you know, and we're just jumping behind. And it's, you know, he's probably a great father, a good man, good businessman, all that kind of stuff. But Mormonism is not Christianity.
Right.
I mean, it's just not, you know, and it started in upstate New York with Joseph Smith, who said that the whole church was an apostate and Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. So to believe that statement alone is to say Jesus was a liar.
Ooh.
And there's a lot to that, but that's what happened. And so then an angel came down and laid hands on Joseph Smith and delivered the priesthood anointing. And that's where it all began in Mormonism. So it's like a reboot. Of, you know, and so now the church's only hope is as a Mormon. And so we have leaders of large gatherings of Christians standing up and saying that it's the same gospel.
Ugh.
It's the same Jesus, you know, and the church doesn't, first of all, the Americans don't know the Constitution.
Right.
They don't realize that's actually what holds us to. That's what we do all the time. The church doesn't know the word of God, you know, and it's like, do we even know? We had so many traditions taught to us about even America that we left our original intent of the Constitution. Now we left our original intent of God. And it's like, we're going to have to wake up.
Right. And, you know, our nation was founded on Christianity. Yeah. It was. I don't care who you are. You know, that's just the truth.
Right.
And when, you know, we came over here, it was freedom of religion, not freedom from religion, but
right.
Religion in itself at that point was a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it was very much interwoven with the Word of God, and the fabric of America at that time was Christianity. And we still have great Christians, and it's still a Christian nation.
Right.
And it's time for the church to rise up and be the church and do exactly what we're supposed to be doing. We kind of just been a little bit lethargic here lately and go into the Bless Me of the Month Club and,
right.
you know, just going, you know, very selfish.
Right.
We've gone very selfish.
Right.
And we shouldn't be that way. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be laying down our life for our brothers and sisters. And
right.
Even in the Constitution, you know, it talks about the Lord constantly. And so, you know, we just need to do what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. He says, you know, they wrote down, our founding fathers wrote down that all of our rights come from God.
Mm-hmm.
And now the church, too, is looking to the government to give rights.
That's right.
And looking to government provision. And so when we're actually going to VFNTV.com, your application, listen to SOS, mm-hmm. A Tale Between Two Kings, because Israel was in that same place where they looked to, they wanted a king like everybody else, a government like everybody else had, instead of Samuel, instead of God's form of government.
Wow. Yeah.
So it stands for, you know, Samuel or Saul, SOS. And right now the church is turning to government, and realize that I really believe this, that a lot of things have already been put in place it doesn't matter. A lot of things doesn't matter who's going to be next, because there's so many regulations that have been put in place to do exactly like what God said to Israel. Okay, you know, you want a king like them? Then this is what's, if you want to turn to government for your help, they're going to take your best men.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to charge you the most taxes. They're going to take your property. They're going to take all these different things. And they said, on top of all that, they still wanted a king. They weren't satisfied with God's form of government. And you know, the world's one thing,
yeah.
But God's people turning to government.
Yeah,
you know.
And it's bad because, see, to me, when I look at the government today and I see men and women who are supposed to be serving the people, that was the intent, was that you go find out what the people need and you go and lay it before everybody. This is what the people in this area need.
Mm-hmm.
But to run after everything that, it's like an entitlement. Everybody thinks they're entitled to get food stamps, or they're entitled to get cash assistance, or they're entitled to get free housing, or they're entitled, you know, and yeah, there's a need. Yeah. There's a need for stuff. Mm. And that, you know, I don't think it's wrong that you ever have to do that stuff. But I do think that when we look to that solely without looking to God, and we depend on the government instead of God, then we've made government our God.
That's exactly it. And the government in itself is not bad.
Right.
Obviously, it's established by God in Romans 13:1-5. But when government becomes your God,
yeah,
then that's when you look to government for provision,
right?
You know, and you look for government to protect you instead of God doing it through your government. He says all authority is established by God. And he says they're your servants to do you good. They're to protect you. Mm-hmm. They don't bear the sword for anything. And so God will touch your government and your police officers and your, you know, your leadership if you pray for those in authority over you and you don't make them God.
Right.
And they will they will do things because God is, they're his servants to do you good.
Right.
Not harm. But when you turn from their source of power and strength and turn to them as your God, then that's when you made a mistake. And that's what Israel did. They turned from, and that's where we are today.
Mm.
You know, and believe it or not, that even though in the natural sense, you think if I take my eyes off of government and I spend my time focusing on Jesus, if I turn off all the newscasts and all the prognostications that happen every 30 minutes or something, that the world won't fall apart and you will come back together again.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point on, you know, the Lord will lead you and direct you.
Yes.
You know, one man, I think about Charles Seymour, you know, in the Azusa Street revival, that, you know, one man was desperate for God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the religious folk was against him, and he had a huge adversary. You know, he was African American, and even his quote spiritual father, unquote, you know, that they wouldn't even let him sit in the room with them when they were training up in ministry. Uh-huh. He had to sit outside the room with the window open.
Wild.
And this is like 1906, mm-hmm. and he stayed steadfast in that, and so he goes to, you know, California, and he begins to believe for a move of God. People say, no, or whatever. So he goes back to a rented room, I think, in a boarding house, and he gets on his knees and begins to cry out to God for revival.
Mm-hmm.
And God pours himself out because one desperate, humble African-American man who loved God, and God just broke heaven loose for this man.
Yes.
And it just exploded. Azusa Street exploded all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And many people today, I mean, Amy Simple McPherson, you know, the Four Square Church and missionaries went around the world. People were getting filled with the Spirit and they were speaking in tongues that were like different languages. And so if they sounded Mandarin to them, they sent them to China. If it sounded Spanish to them, they sent them to Mexico.
Wow, cool.
You know, and it was, they were just sending missionaries all over the place. And mm-hmm. but it happened because one man, you know, decided to humble himself and was desperate for mm-hmm. a move of God. And there's plenty of them like that. And that you can make a difference. It's not contingent upon your government. It's contingent upon how hungry are you? How willing are you?
Yeah.
You know, to desperate are you to see God move? You know, are you desperate? Are you willing to put everything in that way? You know, put everything in that way. So tell us some, you know, some things that are happening in Lakeland. I know that you've had some God encounters down there. You've seen God do some awesome things. Tell us about one or two things that are happening down there.
Well, when I first got down there, it was like, oh my God, I'm here by myself. And I'm like, oh yeah, God, I'm sorry. No. But then I had, you know, gotten refocused and began to, you know, cry out to God for fruit mm-hmm. in the area and, you know, to connect me with some people. And God allowed me an opportunity to go get a blessing from the sheriff to talk mm-hmm. to him. Sheriff Grady Judd is a mm-hmm. wonderful man of God. I'm so thankful that he's over our county there in mm-hmm. Polk County. After that, you know, God began to open up opportunities to talk to different people. And, you know, at one point, as a matter of fact, my father-in-law, mm-hmm. when he was in the hospital, the VA hospital, he was in critical care at that time. And we really didn't think he'd make it. And God just put on my heart to pray for him, you know. And so Kevin was in the room with me, and we prayed for him and laid hands on him and and just asked that God send his angels to minister to him. And the son came into the room there. And what was so significant about that is that the sunlight didn't normally come in that room. Mm-hmm. The nurse came by and she goes, you know, the sunlight never comes in this room. I said, well, that must be God, huh? And it was like, you know, a couple of days he was up. And a few days after that, he was in a room. And then he gave a testimony on a video that I have of him raising his hands and giving God the glory. And it's just amazing to see what God can do when you believe him to move, you wow. know, when you lay hands on people.
And he's like a patriarch in the family.
He is. You know. He's a veteran of the Korean War. He was a prisoner of war for 27 months and also electrical lineman for years. And just a man who really loves his family and has worked hard to provide for his family these past few years and just, you know, had a heart to bless them.
It's something just, you know, God just dropped something on my heart, you know, about, you know, what's this, what's about to happen in the nation, probably the world, but in the nation for sure, is, I know that, I was driving in my truck and, I was, getting off the phone with, somebody and I'd hung up the phone and, I was going to an appointment. And I was turning down a road, and I was turning down this road. There's a car to my side, and I just saw that car. And the car behind that car just saw that car. Mm. And so I didn't see this particular car, and the other person didn't see the car. All we saw was this car between us. And so they ended up T-boning my truck. I mean, yeah. It was just like a suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
It was a suddenly,
mm-hmm.
you know, and... it was just like, bam, you know, and all the airbags went off. And it was just like, it's not. Mm-hmm. And then it was. And of course, I immediately, you know, get out and try to help this wonderful, beautiful couple. And was interesting that my glasses came off. You know, I'm hit it, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. And there's glass shattered. You know, I had a... sunglass over top of me and just everything shattered and the doors, I mean, it was bad. And my glasses, obviously, I guess, you know, come off and they're sitting on the ground right there by the car door where it opens up the truck door. And so I'm trying to forget, you know, I don't have glasses on. You're so strained at a moment like that.
Yeah.
And they're trying to show me something. I'm like, I can't even see.
Right. Right.
Well, and then I realized, oh yeah, I have glasses. I gotta get my glasses. And somebody goes to get my glasses and they weren't even damaged. They were just sitting there and all that, you know? And it wasn't just a few moments later. You know, I've been prophesying, you gotta understand, I've been prophesying for 10 years, you know, and then we begin to build a foundation for what's about to happen in the earth. And then this suddenly, I mean, it's just like you're not hit and then you're hit. And then all of a sudden, less than an hour later, a few, probably 45 minutes later, I'm looking at the television in the emergency room and the earthquake hits Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And they're standing on the roofs. They're standing on the roofs and they're standing on the roof now, on the roof.
Right.
Looking to see what's shaking is like, don't stand on the roof of a tall building.
What are
look,
you doing?
I know it. The Washington Monument's doing all of this and stuff. And I think about that because Brianna's in the studio with us too, that she was there when it was all shaken and quaking and all. And immediately, you know, God spoke to Brianna and she just rededicated her life back to God.
Yeah.
And she got into the VFN family and she's a sign.
Yes, she is.
She's a sign of what's going to happen, that suddenly it's going to hit. And it's not, everybody's so used to progressive things. Like, it'll just gradually get warmer. It's like it was shaking, but then it wasn't shaking. It was, right? And it was just starts, all of a sudden, when your life starts shaking, you know, that, you know, it's just, you got to, if you prepare now, then you're ready. You know what you need to do.
Right.
But if you're just waiting until the shake happens, your head's going to be all over the place. I mean, literally, if it starts shaking, you do get dizzy and all that kind of stuff. But I really believe the Lord just spoke to me, you know, about that this thing is going to hit, and it's going to hit just like it's not hitting, then it just hits.
Right. I
know David Wilkerson talked about that as well. He says it's going to be like a punch in the gut. And that even the most holiest of people, which wouldn't be me, but even the holiest of people will weep, like David wept when he lost everything.
Yeah.
He lost his wife, women, children, family, treasures, and all that kind of stuff when he came back to Ziklag. Mm. And he wept until he couldn't weep anymore. And then he had to encourage himself through his whole process.
Yeah.
The Lord just laid on my heart that is how this thing's going to hit.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of felt like that. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's like you're going to ring with Tyson or something. And you're going, okay. They're about to ring the bell, and so you're preparing yourself. You know, it's going to be a big hit, you know. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing the best we could do to prepare ourselves for that punch. And I don't feel, obviously, you know, that's going to be really tough to do. But when we come out of that,
mm-hmm.
when we come out of that, we'll be better off for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's what, one of the things I was going to say was that Brianna was a sign for me that God was going to move into the area, in the Central Florida area.
And she
Lakeland.
Was in Virginia, right?
She was in Virginia mm-hmm. at the time. Mm-hmm. And her husband got an early out of the military
mm-hmm.
and brought them right back into the area.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that she started doing before she even got back was she started to abide. She started to get into discipleship and she started mm-hmm. to spend time with the Lord. And God opened up a whole new self, a part of himself to her
mm-hmm.
and just encouraged her greatly in dreams and visions. And it was amazing to see
right.
Just God move in her life. And mm-hmm. Since then, she got a house. She wanted a house. She has a good job. Mm-hmm. She's just blessed, you know, that she got in alignment with what God wanted to do in her life and,
right.
and where he wanted to put her to be able to get her ready and prepared mm-hmm. for what was going to be coming.
Right.
And another one is Stacy.
Oh,
yeah. Stacy. I was Stacy Marino. Hey, Stacy, love you. She was stuck in tradition, mm-hmm. you know, and she kept saying, "Well, we got to go to church, and we're going to do this thing, and we're going to do this Bible school thing, and you know, mm-hmm. we're going to do all this stuff with the church, and da da da." Just totally
right.
consumed in all of the stuff they could do together inside the church,
mm-hmm.
and. God just laid on my heart, you know, really strong to talk to her and see where she was. And she admitted that she was stuck in tradition and
right.
that she
held captive.
Wanted, yeah, she wanted to be out of that tradition. She mm-hmm. wanted to be so open with the Lord and in relationship with him. And she began discipleship too. And God began to open and reveal things to her and gave her some awesome dreams. One of which was that there would be a significant storm, you know, in June. And June's not over yet.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So anyway, she's very good to write these things down, but God speaks to her in dreams, and she's just really grown in the Lord. It's just amazing to see him do some beautiful things with these young women who mm. are but they really loved the Lord,
right?
And weren't sure what to do with all that, you know,
right?
But peripherally,
right?
You know, God's been showing me people who are hungry for Him,
mm-hmm.
who have been hurt by the church, who don't want to go back to tradition, mm-hmm. And He's allowed me to be able to minister to people and disciple people.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, met one of Papa Ken's students.
Mm-hmm.
From way back when at Liberty mm-hmm. Church,
uh-huh.
Her name is Lynn. Mm-hmm. She's in insurance right now, but she mm-hmm. was just, you know, such a sweetheart. She came by the office to sell us insurance. We got to talking and found out, you know, we were all related. Yay.
Yeah.
But, it's just, you know, God's mm-hmm. ministering to everybody, one-on-one.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of, pastorship than I guess, you know, in the past, you know, instead of like 2,500 people at a time,
mm-hmm.
you know, God's interested in that one person. You know, He's wanting to hear their heart and He wants to love on them.
Right. That's so important. You think about it, you know, 95%, according to George Barner's statistics, 95% of self-professing Christians don't lead one person to the Lord.
Mm.
And the truth is that most people depend on somebody else to do what we ourselves are called to do.
Right.
And the truth, if you focus just even on one.
Yeah.
You're already in the top 5th percentile.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And so I want to encourage you, you know, that Jesus focused on the one. I mean, He would pause and He would focus on the one. And He had 12.
Yeah.
He had 12. And then He said, go imitate me.
Mm.
And so, and that's Jesus. You know what I'm saying? But I think about Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. He says, this is the word of God. This is Paul writing. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depends on human traditions and the basic principles of this world rather than Christ.
Mm.
You got to ask yourself this. If everything that you were depending on, if it stopped, would you even know what to do?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And even if you're leading a group of people for the Lord, if you're a leader of a gathering, have you trained people up in hearing God's voice or hearing your voice? You know, He says, my sheep know my voice mm-hmm. and they follow none other.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why you're, if this is the way, if you're raising in that way, the reason why you're together is because you're following the same voice,
mm-hmm.
not because they're following your philosophies and traditions.
Right.
You know, everybody gets together. And the reason why church, let the church say amen, which means I agree. It means because we heard the same thing from God.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and we have children. I mean, we have children in the VFN family. You find out more about VFN at VFNfamily.org. But, you know, we have children that are hearing clearly from God. As a matter of fact, we, you know, on the VFN TV blog, which you can get to at VFNTV.com, we got Cooper, you know, who has a dream of a biblically accurate dream at 7 years old, 7 years old of heaven.
Wow.
And he colors it out.
Cool.
You know, with the colors and shows it to his mother. He's got the river and the trees of life and the brightness of the what was happening there. And we're seeing, and this is happening again and again, and we're seeing people that, you know, that just miracles, just everything, the book of Acts, you know, because we have a limited amount of time, but the book of Acts is just, it's not a history book. I mean, it's a manual in what we should expect to happen in the context of being the church.
Absolutely.
And it, you'll find out you have a lot more time on your hand when you let go of all of men's traditions and, you know, philosophies that, you can spend some time with God. Is it dependent on Christ? You know, what is what you're doing, you know, is if it is, that means everything, even nations could fall, but the kingdom of God will stand in you.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
if your survival is based on whether that organization, you know, survives or not, you know, that's not depending on God, because the body of Christ is an organism, not an organization.
Right. And mm-hmm. a lot of times for me, it was like, phew. You know,
yeah,
it's not on my shoulders. Praise God. You know,
right.
I'm not going to be, you know.
Right.
So it is just a relief to know, you know, once you realize, you know, it's not dependent on me.
Right.
You know, that it is dependent on Christ and He is able to keep that which He's committed. You know what I'm saying? Which I've committed to Him. So it's like, you know, I've committed to serve Him. I'm going to be available for Him and He's going to be moving through me.
Right. And it's just, and that's what the enemy, how you're held captive, if you're held captive by, you know, men's traditions and philosophies that depend on, you know, that depend on men, the principles of this world, is because you look at all that and you think, I can't do that. I can't afford a $2.3 million budget.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, Cindy, that that according to George Barna, you know, is that I think it's $1.3 million is spent per baptized believer in America. $1.3 million.
Yeah, I believe it. I remember some of the stuff coming across my desk in the church office, and I'm like, really? No. But it's, you know.
Yeah.
It's a lot of overhead in a church building.
Right.
And what the tradition that we're in, it's not.
Right. And he's, you know, he says that, you know, we are the building of God. That we know you not that that God dwells in you, God's spirit's in you. You know, you're the temple of God, and that God is putting us together, building a spiritual house, and that you know, but to do that, when we start realizing that we are the church, those that follow Jesus, then all of a sudden now the word of God applies to me and not to the building.
Right.
I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, it takes you quickly to the cross, you know. But that's what the cross is for. It's what Jesus did.
Yeah.
And so when you start, when you realize that you are the church, you know, and because we hear God, we fellowship together, and we can come into a city that we don't even know each other, but we know God. And when we see each other, we're together because we know there's something about them that we love because it's Christ in them that draws us together. And so, you know, with that, understanding that, you know, that we are the church, then you can be freed from all of men's traditions then and all of his philosophies and all these different things, and that, and you want Christ and him alone. Now with that, you know, there's church government and all that, but it's just enough government that if God was to actually pull away from it, it would crumble.
Yeah.
That's what you want. You want it immediately just to fall to pieces. Mm-hmm. You don't want it to keep going and Jesus is knocking on the outside, not getting in. You want to know, like, hey, it just fell apart. But, you know, we're coming to the end of our extra hour here. It's been so good, you know, having you from Lakeland.
Thank you for having me.
Spending time with, and your ministry down there is just really cool. Glad to have Brianna with us in the studio, too. It's real cool. The word, you know, the prophetic word was affirmed. And hopefully Brianna will share with us what it was like when the ground was quaking under her feet, you know, in Virginia. And, but I want to remind you of this. I want to remind you of this, that our Lord is in control. You know, kings have risen and kings have fallen. Nations have risen and nations have fallen, you know, but one thing that's remained the same is God.
Yes.
You know, and if your trust is placed in Jesus Christ, and if you haven't done this yet, you can today. You know, you can hear Cindy's testimony, my testimony, and a few other testimonies that are there, kind of give you a different perspective of different people at meetmyfather.org. meetmyfather.org. You just got to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. It's very simple, but it was a difficult thing that was done. You know, God did it with his son, Jesus, on the cross and paid a horrific price for us to be able to be saved. But it's just faith, locking into faith and say, you know what? My trust is in Jesus and him alone. And buildings are nice. Like I always say, I got a good friend that's a building, you know, but it's your faith should not be in a building.
Yes.
You know,
that's right.
It should be in Jesus Christ. And then when we know that we are the building of God, then it applies to us. So I want to encourage you, if you're just listening, to say, I am the building of God. Think about it. I am the building of God. And that means God's word applies to me.
Yes.
It's first person. And then you start thinking, oh my goodness. And that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Then you go, I need Jesus. Yeah. And it all works out. Then all of a sudden Jesus is there for you. Well, praise God. We're so excited to be able to have you here. Hopefully Brianna will join us in the future to be able to share that. We just pray a blessing over your ministry there.
Thank you.
And we're very, very excited about that. Believe it or not, Pat, we're coming to the end of the extra hours, the fastest 2 hours of our life. But I do want to say, find out more, the VFN TV blog. We try to keep things updated there. You can find some funny things, but find some prophetic things as well. Also, to all the VFN family, I want to give you a shout out. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. I had a wonderful time in fellowshipping. The prayers, remember to pray for each other continually on the do. It's pleasing to God when we dwell together in unity. God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow at 9 a.m. Central Time.